Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. Back with another episode this week of The Stuff podcast show. This is Ian Walker, your host for this week. Got a few things I'm going to be talking about this week. Bad date experiences and bad work experiences as well. There's something that came up over the Twitterverse that I had to talk about, and so I'm going to be talking about that this week. Another subject that popped up though over the internets that I want to talk about. You guys ever have somebody that just come up to you guys and, you know, when you're getting to know somebody, right? What's the one of the first questions they ask you? They're like, oh, okay, yeah, your name, so-and-so, that's great. What do you do for work? You ever wonder why people ask that? I've always kind of wondered, like, why is that always asked? I guess, I don't know, our jobs are a part of our identity, I guess. I'm not sure. So, it's a preconceived notion. Do you guys think that people ask what you do as a basis of kind of who you are, to make a kind of like a prejudgment, a predetermination of who you are as a person? I think so. I think sometimes they take that and they're like, okay, because like, for instance, you work at Wendy's, you know, like myself, I used to work at a Wendy's. It was a job. It was something that had to be done. I started working there when I moved back to my home here in Monterey. Hey, you do what you got to do, right? So you're taking any job. Job market is hard. It's rough. Things are kind of hard. So first thing I did, I had a person that was a manager at Winnie's, said, hey girl, need a job, hook it up, please. And as she did, I worked at Winnie's for about 8 months to a year. And I will say that having, even though you have a job, it seems like your worth is kind of based on what kind of job you have, really. I even my relationships were based on that, because at that time it was never enough, right? It wasn't enough that I had a job. It had to be the right job. It had to be, I guess, in their eyes. So in my relationships, you know, when I would tell them, hey, you know, I work at a fast food joint, I'm at Wendy's, and they look at me like, ew, you know, and being as old as I was at the time, I moved back here to Monterey in about 2014. That's about 6 years ago, man. So I was around 34 years old, 33, 34, something like that. And, yeah, you'd be like, oh, you're a 34-year-old guy and you work at a fast food joint? No. What kind of man are you? I don't know what kind of assumptions were made, but that sometimes seems like what it was. But I remember that every time I got a new job, it looked like I was unstable for a while. It looked like, oh, Ian, you can't hold down a job. And then in reality, it's like, nah, that's not what it is at all. I even had a friend tell me, like, you don't hold down a job for more than 8 months. And I had to check her, because I was like, actually, you don't know the truth behind that. It only looks like to you that I don't know how to hold down a job. But every job that I got, every 8 months, 8 to 12 months, I was getting a new job. But it was better pay. It was pretty much a stepping stone in me moving up and up into something better. Sometimes you got to take that journey, you know, go through that process. And, you know, you got to eat dirt for a while. And you just got to man up and do what you got to do. But I was continually moving up. And in my relationships on the outside, it looked like, man, you can't hold down a job for nothing. That means you're unstable. That means you can't hold down a family. You can't do nothing. So I was kind of like, man, y'all don't even know. Y'all just looking at based on what you think you see. Not what it is you see, but what you think you see. And what you think you see is instability, when in reality, it was steady upward mobility and progression. But it just looked like instability of a job, like I couldn't keep a job. It was weird. So And that's an aspect that I went through as far as, you know, with my jobs and things. But it's funny how that comes up in conversation, how it's so much a part of our life, because it does seem like it's a kind of like a qualifying factor as to what kind of character you are as a person, what kind of job you have. If you're in customer service, they know, okay, you're a nice person, right? You obviously have to be patient. You have to have a willingness to serve, right? And that's mostly any job that you have. You're pretty much serving someone. So that kind of gives people a gauge as to what you do or what kind of a person that you may or may not be, right? Somebody works in construction. Oh, they're good with their hands. You know, they can fix things. So, you know, if you're a mechanic, same thing. You fix things. You could do that very well. And it seems like the jobs where, you know, you're working with your hands, those are more respected. At least, especially to those of opposite sex, because it means that they can provide and they can bring it in and they can fix anything and they can just, you know, and it's looked at as more masculine. Well, flipping a burger don't look masculine at all. I ain't gonna lie. I remember it don't look cute, but you know, it is what it is. I can laugh at it now. In the past, I'll be like, oh no, but it really doesn't. On the surface, it's just like, oh dude, like, bruh. But, you know, based on what kind of job you have, it does kind of give you sort of a gauge as to who they are. If there's someone who works in corporate America, yeah, I have my own firm. And, yeah, I have a multi-million-dollar business. Well, then automatically you gain the assumption that this person either likes a lot of expensive, flashy things, might even be a little bit snooty. Might sometimes even be a little jerk and at times a little entitled. Because you got those two types of entitled people. The entitled people who've done absolutely nothing and think they should have everything, or those who have done everything and feel like they've gotten to a point where they shouldn't have to work for it anymore. You know, not realizing, no, dude, work is work forever until God or someone else says otherwise. You know, so, you know, it's interesting in that way. Do you guys feel that way, or have you guys had any situations where people have asked you what you've done for work and either treated you differently because of what you did for work, or whether it be in a positive or negative way? Or have you had just it never come up in a conversation? I think it's very rare for it to not come up in conversation as far as what someone does for work. You know, I have yet to have a conversation where it's like, hey, Ian, okay, good. What do you like to do for fun? Oh, I like to do this. I like to do this. Okay, great. You know, okay, let's talk about movies and let's talk about other stuff. Because it never happens. The next question, inevitably, okay, cool, man. What do you do for work? Because that's the basis. That's the baseline. Who are you as a person is your job. And it seems like that's an identity. Do you think it's possible to, I think we should try to make it a possibility. If we could try to omit that from conversation, I think that would be neat. Then that way, if we omit that question from conversation, we just ask other questions about the person in general, and then we can have a better outlook and opinion of people instead of looking at it based on their job. Do you guys think that that's something that's doable? I don't know. It's so entrenched and ingrained in us. You know, it'd be hard to just get rid of a question like that, taking it out of our vocabulary or our bowl of questions, you know, just out of nowhere on the regular. But, you know, I think it's possible if we just try. But if you guys have had this experience, I like to hear them about jobs and if people have sized you up based on your career path. Let me know. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that. On the Twitters, I came across a post done by a regular Twitter person. I said Twitter person. That sounds terrible. A regular tweeter Her name is Shinjini Das. I hope I said that name correctly. If you're listening, Shinjini, I apologize. But she mentioned something that I had to get up in on. And it was a subject that I thought was very important. And it hit me a lot. I had to speak on it. She says in the tweet, she says, "Do you think I would have been more or less successful if I were a guy? Only two options, more or less. Can't say equal. Retweet if you think more. Comment either way." I saw this and I had to comment. And the reason why is because I'm one of those people who falls in the camp of just based through life experience and you know, whatever it may be. You know, success is actually very relative and it's actually dependent on the person. I don't, you know, and I don't want to sound cliche about it, but, you know, I feel like if, you know, if you are in a situation where you find that it seems that your environment does not respect you as a person or what you're trying to accomplish and what you bring to the table, what you have to offer, and you find yourself in that situation, it is up to you to get out of it. I never, ever, ever allow other people to dictate, unless you are God or my mama, and even my mama knows when to back up, to dictate the direction of my life or to dictate the direction that my life goes as far as, you know, people seeing my value, especially in the workplace. So when I saw it, I was just like, nah, that can't, I can't, you know, I couldn't let that one stand. So one of the things I had said in response to that, your bias is, success is not gender-based. I said it's biased by means of your drive, your determination, your passion, and your enthusiasm for whatever it is that you want to accomplish, whether it be in your job, whether it be in the thing that you love doing the most. Well, no matter what it is, you decide whether you are successful by means of what you do with what you're presented with. I got a response from another person who kind of joined in the conversation, fighting poverty in the United States. That's what it looks like. And she responded accordingly. And her statement was, "The world is biased in one way or another, and that bias can and will affect your success. Example, you're an amazing worker, but your boss is a racist, sexist person." I edited it because it was more flavorful. "What do you think your chances are at going up in the what do you think your chances at going up in the company has increased or decreased?" And again, I had to respond to that as well. I see a lot of people sometimes feel like they get stuck in those situations, especially if it's a job that they love or if there's something that they like to do. You know, the environment may not be the best, but they appreciate the job. They appreciate, you know, all aspects of it. And it might be even a place where they flourish. But it's the management and the supervisors that are deciding to stifle the employees in some or an employee in some form or fashion. And again, I had to jump back in and I said, well, they increase your chances for success and promotions has nothing to do with that boss. It really doesn't. It really has everything to do with what you are putting forth and what you're putting out and the decisions you decide to make. They increase if you make the decision to get out of the environment and either find a company or a boss that values your talent, or you decide to leave and work for yourself. And after that, I said, life is decisions. Life is not what happens to us, but what we allow to happen to us. So, and I'm talking about in situations that we can control. There's a lot of things in life that we can't control, okay? I mean, that's life. That's how it works. That is what it is. But, you know, at the end of the day, and when it comes to certain things that you can control, whether it be you could control your environment. You could control the place where you work. You could control how you react to certain things in life, how you react to damaging bosses that really don't know how to manage, but instead want to rule with an iron fist, managers that don't know how to lead a team. lemmings. I like to call them lemmings. You know, you have people that, you know, our managers that are actually lemmings. Every time their boss tells them to jump, they ask how high and how long they want them to stay up there. Those who don't have a real understanding of leadership and what it means to really be a leader and lead a team really understands that it's actually, if you want the company to be better, you have to please the employees first. You have to be there for the employees first. You have to accommodate as best you can. Always remember that you're running a business. Yes, always. You know, but if you want the business, if you're a true leader and you have the mentality that the business comes first, you have to make sure that in order for that business to come first, the employees have to be taken care of. Because trust me, if you have employees that do not feel encouraged, if they don't feel that they can grow, if they feel constantly stressed out, if they feel they're not being heard, if they feel that they are, you know, pretty much just said, you know, hey, go in your corner, sit down and shush up. Trust me, you're not going to get the results that you want. And you're not going to perform as the manager that you want to be, or that you think you're becoming. So on the surface, some of these bosses out here, you know, kissing butt when the manager comes around, saying all the right things. But when it comes to performance and how their team is holding up, you know, they don't have a valid answer for anything. You know, they can't answer why all their employees are calling out sick all the time. You know, they can't answer why, you know, there's always conflict and division in and among the employee workforce at times. And most of that stuff is because of management. It's poor management. And yes, a lot of us have to make those decisions to whether or not we want to be a part of it or not. But the management and leadership creates the environment. They set the precedent. They set the tone. And a good leader is going to understand that, you know, whatever tone they set is what represents them. And it is what represents the company. You know, no matter what it is, you know, whether it's corporate, whether it's the 7-Eleven down the street, you know, the Starbucks, state jobs, whatever, you know. But a lot of these leaders have been bred to be like, hey, this is how it needs to be. And they make this job their life because they're so used to being lemmings and they're so used to being told what to do. They've worked so hard in their careers to do everything that they need to do, whether it was stepping on people or just working really hard, you know, legitimately. There's some who have worked a little bit hard but don't have a good grasp of leadership, but have been put into these leadership roles, and they expect all their other employees to follow suit. To make that job that they've made their life, they expect everyone else to do the same thing. Don't work that way, boo-boo. Does not work that way. That's not how it is. That's not real life. That's not, no, no. So when you have employees with needs and you have employees with desires, you can't, you know, controlling with the game of, you know, hey, you know, we're going to go on vacation. You know, you've earned vacation throughout the year. You know, you want to make plans to hang out with your family. But, and so when you put in that time for vacation, you know, seniority aside, go and plan something with your family. But they're like, no, you can't go on vacation on this day, but you can go on this day instead. Having nothing to do with seniority. Seniority is out the books. That's already been taken care of, because that aspect is a reality. So, you know, you have to respect seniority. But after the fact, you know, just because the manager's like, no, I need people here, so I'm not going to let them go on vacation. And makes you think sometimes, and what's the point of earning money for vacation? You know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to earn vacation that you can't use, right? You know, and then that's when you get those situations with employees that are just like, you know what? Okay, fine. You're not going to give me a vacation when I'm on vacation? Very cool. And then you have those people who like to work the system. You end up getting people who become embittered, who become angry, and who manipulate the system that's set in place in order to get their way. Why? Because it's the environment that was created by the management, who is not there for their employees, who doesn't give a crap about their employees because they don't know how to lead. Or don't have a grasp on life and how things work, or even who have forgotten being what it is to be a mom, what it is to have divided households, what it is to have stress, to be, you know, on a personal level, dealing with the day to day, the same redundant thing over and over again. My job where I work, in my honest opinion, I feel is probably the most verbally abusive environment ever. And it's not from within. It's actually from the public. You know, we have to deal with every single day. You know, the old adage, don't shoot the messenger. Well, you know, we get shot up every single day, you know, and all we're doing is simply relaying the letter of the law to people who don't want to, And so going through that on a day-to-day basis, that gets tiring. That can weigh on a person's mind, getting yelled at, you know, getting, you know, the papers thrown at you, getting threatened, you know, people telling you how to do your job, people expecting you to accommodate them and feeling, I had somebody tell me, oh, the customer's always right. I scooted back in my chair. I was like, dude, man, I'm like, this is not McDonald's. This is a state. This is the government. You are not right. In fact, if you knew better, you know, the government never thinks anybody is right ever. No one is right in the government. So for him to say that was just a stupid thing, but that was just because he wanted to get something and he couldn't get it. He was frustrated because he didn't want to follow the rules in order to get what he needed to have done. So putting up with that on a regular basis with the public, dealing with the media who just uses my job where I'm at as the scapegoats for everything. And even within the government themselves uses the department, the State Department that I work in, as a scapegoat for everything bad that happens when we're actually just the ones relaying what they told us to say, you know, doing the job that they told us to do, you know, but then they turn around and, you know, turn on us, you know, but again, shows a lack of leadership and it shows that it starts all the way from the top. So when you're in a decision, when you're in a job, if you're listening, if you're in a place where you're not happy, or you find you're in a place where leadership is so sorely lacking that you, and you feel like you're stuck, know that you're not stuck. You have a decision to make. You can either stay in that environment or find another part of that environment where you can leave and flourish, find another company that you can go to where they will respect your talents and who you are and what you can bring to the table. And like I said, value you and your skill, or you can break off completely and create something brand new on your own. And let me tell you, there is nothing more cooler than freedom of being able to do what you want on your terms. Yes, it is more work. It is a lot more work. Having the freedom to be like, to be able to just, you know what, I'm just going to take a break for a little bit. I'm not going to do this too much. It's pretty cool. I personally, as an artist, I have a couple of side jobs that I do. If I find I need a couple extra bucks, I could just tap into those things, get money, and it's no problem. It's nice to have. It's very cool to have, you know, knowing that you're not, you don't have to be tied down if you choose not to. And believe me, it is a choice. It is a choice. Somebody else's bad attitude and lack of leadership skills is not an excuse for anybody, in my opinion, to, you know, just allow themselves to be stuck. If you're stuck, that's your fault. You've done that yourself. Okay. So, you know, really assess what's going on. And if it's worth it to make the move, then do so. Of course, there are other factors to consider. You know, you got your families, you know, those of us or married who have, you know, big families that you have to worry about. The job market is very volatile. And you know, it can be very rough, but you know, take the steps, make the moves. You can't just up and quit and, you know, show your butt as you walk out of your current job, but you could take the steps to make the moves to start getting out of there. You know, you don't have to stay there. No one says you have to. No one says you have to. Trust me, your boss knows that. You know, they'll be real quick to let you go if they, you know, if you know, you're replaceable. And they never let you forget that. And so let them know that they're replaceable too. Because if they got an answer to somebody, that's not worth anybody to be afraid of, in my opinion. And that's honestly kind of been my mantra. I've always felt, you know, if you have to answer to someone, I have no reason to be afraid of you. I don't fear you. And that puts that person on nearly the same level as me in the fact that you have someone to answer to. You also have a job to do. So you can be a tyrant and that, you know, as an employee, I can make things a little bit difficult. You can make things difficult for me, or we could be partners and we can work together to create solutions and to be a good team and to make things happen. Because if you scratch my back as an employee, definitely gonna scratch yours, and I'll, you know, give you praise and everything up to the wazoo if you're a good leader. And I scrutinize leaders very, very strongly. And that's just a thing I've always had. And I've always been that type to where, you know, when I feel or seen some kind of injustice or mean thing, you know, that's going on, or something that's not right, or how someone was treated on the job, it gets me upset. I don't ever want to be a leader, honestly. I know I have the capabilities to do so, but I don't want it because I don't like the aspect of those. There are some employees who do like to be babysat and who, you know, can't do on their own, which is kind of stressful and kind of annoying, especially for being so grown. You know, you're like, man, this is ridiculous. I don't like that. That is one thing I don't have the patience for. But again, like I said, people like that have been turned that way. They've allowed themselves to turn that way because of the leadership they were issued before. So, you know, again, the result of their environments. I know, like I said, my opinion is not law. It's not the end all be all. It really isn't. I don't, you know, espouse that what I'm saying is absolutely right. This is just my personal opinion. There are some of you guys who will agree and some of you guys who will disagree with what I have to say. Either way, I want to hear what you guys think of it. I want to know what your opinions are based on what I've just spoken about. Do you think that you have more control? Do I have a lot of wishful thinking that in this world that you have the control to do what you want and make the decision to move forward and flourish in other ways other than being where you are now? And if you have done this, if you are in this situation, I hope you take the words at least into consideration, give them thought. And if you're a person that's broken out of a situation that has been mentally exhausting and draining, or if you experienced bad leadership in your workplace or whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear your experiences. I'd love to hear your thoughts on those. Again, you know, Instagram, Gmail, Stuff Podcast Show, all of it, Twitters. Live it on the twits, tweets, Twitter. You know what I mean? leave it there. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on the matter. I want to hear your perspective. And I look forward to hearing from you guys about this subject. One of the things I asked about, one of the questions that I talked about through an Instagram poll, what are some of your worst first date experiences? Now, some of you guys gave me some insights on some of your worst first date experiences. I have one of my own, but I wanted to quickly talk about some of yours. One in particular that really got me thinking, that was just like, what? One of my users, Cece, she mentioned how she went on a date with a dude who was extremely indecisive. Now, there's nothing there's nothing women hate more than a man that is extremely indecisive and does not know what he wants. Major turn off. Dudes, y'all listen to this podcast, man. Don't do that. If you're going to ask a woman out on a date, okay, have the date planned out. In fact, don't just have one place planned out. Have 2 to 3 places planned out. Why? Because it's a different experience on the same night. It's almost like going out on 3 dates in one night. And it's something that'll be memorable. And it's something that the woman will enjoy. So you want her to have good feelings about you when this date time is over. Okay? So think about that. Okay? 2 to 3 different places on a date. Now, back to the story. Apparently, this dude was like, she's like, hey, where do you want to eat at? He's like, I don't know. Where do you want to eat at? She's like, I don't know. You pick. She's like, no, you pick. And she's like, no, you pick. It's okay. I'll pick whatever you want. Yeah, I do whatever. Okay. You remember like Kevin Hart? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was him. apparently with her. And he was just, he was simp, he's a punk. He was indecisive. He didn't know what he wanted. And so he lost the game. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Men, you got to take the lead. You got to know what you want. You got to be confident and be confident in the decision too. Be like, I don't know, we can go here if you want to. No, boo, look, I invited you out. I got something planned for us. I think this is going to be good. I think it's great. And I think we're going to go here. I'm going to take you to this restaurant here that I like in town. I think it's pretty good. I think you might like it. Okay, cool. Yeah, they go along with it. They will go along with it. Because a woman don't feel like leading. She didn't come out on this date to lead the date. Okay, she didn't come out here. She came out here to relax and chill. She's got to do all of that during the day. If she's a woman that has kids, okay, she's already been the leader and stuff already for most of the day. She don't need to, you know, trying to lead you and figuring out what you want to do now. She already done raising kids. She don't want to raise another kid on a date. She done got up here dressed up all cute and stuff, you know, putting on the lipstick and the lip gloss with a cute dress on, cute skirt and all that stuff, looking cute for you when she ended up having to do stuff she could have done in her sweats at home with no bra on. You know what I'm saying? She ain't come here for that. You know, you got to take the lead. You got to take charge. You know, women admire that. They appreciate it. So I keep saying that. Don't be like that. You know, if a woman, now there's some of us dudes out there who are really like, you know, they really don't mind what the woman wants to do. Okay. But if you ask her and she's like, I don't know, what do you want to do? Go ahead and make a decision. You know, don't play this back and forth stuff. That's childish. Don't do that. That ain't manly. Don't do that. Okay. But in general, if you's a man, you're supposed to have the plan going on, especially if you asked a girl out on the date. You're already supposed to have an idea of what you want to do. What you want to go out and say and do and all the activities lined up. She's just supposed to be along for the ride. She wants to be feminine. She wants to be dainty. Okay? So let her be that, please. Because now if she gotta figure out where y'all gonna eat at, and she figuring out what y'all gonna do, you're already setting the precedent for the relationship if she decides to stick around. Okay? You've already decided, you know what, these pants are too tight for me. I'm gonna let you go ahead and put these on. And then that's just another man she can just walk all over. You know, you're just setting yourself up. And then some of y'all ask, like, man, my woman don't respect me, man. She don't respect me. She don't care about nothing I say. Because you ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got no opinion. So she make it for you. What you expect? I'm just saying. You've done that yourself, in the words of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Okay? So get out of here with all that. You know, make a decision. So with that being said, you know, this dude did that and he lost the game. Lost the game. Now my girl's married to a good guy, and she's having fun. He's a little bit more decisive. That is what it is. He knew what he wanted and went straight forward. No games. You know, don't play games. He knew what he wanted. He's like, yes, I want you. Fineness. Have at thee. You know, so he did that, and now they're married, and it's all good. as far as I went out on, story time, went out on a date with someone. That was quite interesting. Those of you that might know me, if there's people that know me, they know that I very much admire women. I respect them. Again, I believe that they're one of the most powerful creatures in all of creation because they have the abilities to do things that are amazing and incredible. To create life, they can create and they can destroy. And one of the things that I like is I do like a decisive woman that knows what she wants. If I find someone that I find attractive or I want to go for somebody, you know, I'll take the plunge. I'll be like, hey, look, I want to go out, want to hang out, want to get to know you. Just, you know, see how it goes. Cup of coffee. That's the first one. Cup of coffee, public places. Always public places. Cup of coffee. Let's chop it up for a little bit, see how it goes. And I like a woman who knows what she wants and who's independent and who is confident. What I don't like, however, is a woman that outright tells you first thing in the conversation, I don't need no man. I'm independent. I've done this by myself all this time. I'm not looking for nobody to be no man to me and try to met me up. You know, it makes me look at you. You know, why are you here? What are we doing? I have a very old school method of thinking. I've been raised very old fashioned. You know, they talk about chivalry is dead, and he ain't dead as long as I'm around. I consider myself to be very old fashioned, can be very chivalrous, and you know, I'm the opening the doors. I'm the, you know, listening to everything. A lot different than most guys nowadays. But when you come up here talking about I don't need no man and I'm independent and I need this, if you got to tell me you're independent, you're not independent. And that's a red flag for me. And that's annoying. Okay? Because that just shoots up a lot of stuff. So first thing on this date, she's talking about how she don't need no man and how she can do well by herself. And then she's talking about all the stuff she's been doing, which is fine. You know, I like hearing about your accomplishments and the things you've been able to do for yourself. I think that's important. I mean, you got to have some kind of goal or accomplishments. Goals, on the other hand, were something that weren't had. And then she proceeded to be on her phone. You know, every time, you know, we were talking, we had a conversation. Now, some of you guys out there listening might be like, well, then Ian, you must be a boring conversationalist. You must not have been saying anything pretty interesting. If she's looking at her phone all the time, all night, you know, then you must have been pretty boring. Okay, maybe that could be a possibility. I never doubt that there could be a possibility that my conversation skills were lacking that night. However, I am under the belief that when you are with someone on it, whether it be on a date or any kind of social situation, especially on one-on-one, the phone goes away. The only exception to that is if you're a mother. If I'm dating you and I know you have children, that is the exception to the rule, at least in my book. You know, because mamas and babies come first, okay? I get that, understand. You got to know what's going on. You want to do some checking, whatever. But in a general sense, if you're there one-on-one with somebody, it is so rude to be checking your phone, to be checking your texts, be scrolling and stuff while somebody's trying to have a conversation. Or they're talking to you, looking at you, and then they keep looking back at their phone, looking at their phone, looking at their phone. You know, after a while, I'm like, hey, something you got to do? You want to go? All right. You know, you need to get dropped off. You want me to walk to your car and help you out. You know, that's the time when I would just want to end this piece right there, because that to me is rude. I had that all through the day, and I pride myself on conversational quality. I mean, I don't think my game was off that night. I really don't. Again, could be wrong. I never, you know, knocked that possibility out the wind, but I'm pretty sure the conversation was going. But there were just so many things other than that. There are a lot of things that are kind of personal, but I'm not going to go on about that. But one of the things that really gets me is when a woman feels like it's super important to tell me how independent they are and how they don't need a man or how they don't need, you know, all this or stuff. It's good to be that way. And unfortunately, in the world that we live in right now, a lot of women are forced to be that because there are some men who don't want to step up to the plate in that way. They don't want to take charge. Some of them don't want to lead, and it's they don't want to. It's not that they don't want to. I think it's because mostly they haven't been taught to properly. And because of that, you know, we've got the women that have been forced to go into a masculine role and learn how to do all of these things themselves. And so now when they're put into a situation where, you know, they're now with another man, they feel that they're on this constant proving mentality. And it's proving not in the sense of proving in the form of their femininity as to, you know, how they can prove themselves to be a good match for someone, as is what you're doing when you're dating and then eventually when you start courting. You know, it's just a natural thing now. Okay, I got to prove that I can handle this with or without you. And it's like, nah, I'm not here for all that. Like, that's not what I need right now. You know, I want you to be here and have a good time. I would like the chance to lead. I want to be able to take you and do something nice. And I want to, you know, be there and show you a good time. I want you to sit back and relax. Just sit back and be cute. Be beautiful. Be what I was attracted to. You know, it's okay. You ain't got to be wrong. Now, I understand what I say might ruffle some feathers, maybe, to some of the ladies out there that are of the independent mindset, who've been, you know, forced to be who they are right now, which again is commendable, extremely commendable. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not trying to ruffle feathers. But it is good to allow, if there are some of us out there who want to lead and who want to show you a good time and who want to provide, let us do that. Let us do that for you. But don't ever cater to a dude who can't take lead, though. You know, who can't. I mean, a guy that can't do that, he deserves to get the stuff that's going on with him. You know, little bad situations or whatever. You know, he gets talked into stuff to do and pressured all the time. You know, that's a weak-minded dude. It's not good. It's not a good look. Not a good look. So that was just one of the experiences I had with a bad date. I ended up at the end of that date pretty much sitting her aside. I guess she said she had a good time and wanted to meet up again. And I had to respectfully decline. I had to be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I think it'd be a good idea if we just, you know, we could be cool. You know, we can talk. We can, you know, be friends. But this dating thing, I don't think that's gonna happen again. We can't do that. I don't think there's things between us that vibe or gel very well. So you know, I'm gonna respectfully decline, but I hope to see you again. I hope all goes well with you. You know, I had to do that. Now it's very rare when that happens, and this was one of those situations where it was extreme where I had to do that, because I like to give people more than one shot. I usually don't do just the one date thing and that's it. You know, if a first time doesn't go well, I kind of chalk it up to nerves or something. You know, most of the time, you know, people are nervous, they don't know what to say. You know, they're trying to, you know, there is the proving thing coming, they're nervous, you know, all those things kind of get in the way. So usually in a situation like that, when it comes to dating, I usually give it, you know, at least one more date, because then at least after the first time, they're familiar with me. So the second time it'll, you know, they end up being a little bit more natural. If it doesn't work out the second time, if it's still that same vibe, then there's just no click, you know, there's no vibe, and there's no point to continue forward after that. So, you know, that's important, but this was such an extreme situation where it was just, it almost came off kind of nasty. So I was just like, you know, I'm good. So I would love to hear more of you guys' stories on bad date situations, your experiences in dating and what you went through. I would love to hear those stories, and quite possibly I can revisit this subject again, talk about it again on another podcast. All right, tell me what you think. Take care. Hey everyone, this is Ian Walker again. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode this week. Thank you so much for listening, for paying attention and taking time out of your day to listen to my podcast. I love you all very much for that. I always appreciate the support, the love, the feedback, all of it. And I constantly encourage it, and I definitely want more of it. As long as you're respectful. That's the only thing I'm asking for. Just show some respect. But I need feedback, because I want to know what you guys want to listen to. If there's anything that you guys want me to talk about, if there's subjects that are near and dear to you that you want me to discuss, please do not hesitate to send me an email at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. You can also get a hold of me on Instagram. I'm very good at Instagram, believe it or not. I respond to everyone who sends me a message. I respond to all the comments there. I do real good. Be proud. You know, if I wasn't doing podcasts, I'd probably be like a social media manager or something. I feel like I'm that legit. Anyway, real talk. You can contact me there. I will be very quick to get back to you. I will take all of your questions, your comments, any considerations that you have. If you want to shout out friends or do anything like that as well, I'll put you in my segment, which is
breath and talk about your comments there as well. I would really, really love to get more voices on the show, get more opinions on the show, and stuff on just how you feel. You know, I'm very, again, like I said before, super excited about season 4 because I've got a lot coming down the pipeline. 22 seasons when I did last season. I'm hoping to meet that same exact goal, but I can't do it without you guys. And so, if there's anything, once again, if there's anything you want me to talk about, please do so. Spread the word. Tell your friends and family. If they've never heard of a podcast, this stuff is a great beginning podcast to listen to. It's family friendly. Everyone can benefit from it or just have fun listening to it. You know, whatever the case may be. Would love to get more in the community. So, again, thank you guys so much for listening. And I am looking forward to having an amazing season 4. And doing more with you guys. So, in the words of Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. Yes, that was corny. I don't know why I said that, but it just felt right. It felt good in spirit. Okay? And I let it sizzle there. Just a little sizzle in spirit. Anyway, so thank you again so much, guys. And I'll talk to you later. And I will see you next week on the Stuff Podcast Show.